man, you know who loves summer? Well, everybody, but also me. It's August 1st. That's like the 2-minute warning of summer. I'm now going to be in a complete panic to go to the beach as much as I can. Hi, I'm Johnny Mack with your daily comedy news. The Justice Department is looking into information about former President Donald Trump's potential crimes and attempting to overturn the 2020 election. I'm laughing because I know what this next joke is. Stephen Colbert said it's about time. At this point, the investigators are like the last person at the office to catch on to a popular TV show. So get this, guys. There are dragons, but they hardly ever show them. And there's lots of nudity, and I'm really looking forward to the Red Wedding episode. I'm so happy for Rob Stark. He deserves all the love. Colbert said, I'm potentially very excited because all of this is potentially huge because no former president has ever been charged with a crime in the country's history. And before John Wayne Gacy, no one ever executed a birthday clown. Bert Kreischer has a movie coming out based on The Machine. Mark Hamill will co-star in it. Bert told Rochester First, well, the movie's me and Mark Hamill. Mark Hamill plays my dad and I get kidnapped by the Russian mafia. We have to go back to Russia and right all my wrongs. That's the movie. It's the most fun experience I've ever had in my entire life. I never wanted to do a movie. I never had any interest in being an actor. And now it's all I think about. I want to go back. I want to make another movie. I mean, well, I'm set up to make 3 other movies, but you never know. Mark Hamill's everything you want him to be. He's as generous as you want him to be. He gets asked a lot of the same questions every time. And as I ask them, you see other people ask him and he sits with you and he answers them the way he should. Not that he should, because he doesn't have to, but the way you hope he would. He was the most awesome dude. Mark Hamill, what was it like being Luke Skywalker? Bert did not ask him about voicing the Joker. He said, I'm too old for that. I never knew about the Joker. So at times, I guess he'd go into the Joker voice on camera and people would recognize it. And I was like, I don't know. I'm not familiar with that. I wanted to be like, hey, man, you're Luke Skywalker. Patton Oswalt will release his 4th hour for Netflix on September 20th. It is titled We All Scream. It was filmed in Denver. Why? It's where he happened to be when they decided to film it. The Hollywood Reporter was like, hey, Patton Oswalt, you got a lot going on. How'd you decide it was time to tour? Patton said, it's funny. Everything that I do in other areas, writing, acting, producing, is so that I can increase my visibility and keep doing stand-up. The stand-up is always something that I'm doing. I'm either in the process of working on the next set or thinking about what the next hour is going to look like. So it's not that I find the time. It's that everything else is fit around me doing stand-up. The pandemic influenced this special, and he said, we're kind of coming out of a, not necessarily darkness, but loneliness. So it's me acknowledging that, oh, we're programming a lot of our own loneliness these days and trying to fight against that. And in a funny way, show that there's danger in that. I say at one point in the special, we all remember before the pandemic going, if I could just get a month to myself to get my life together. And the universe said, well, how about 4 and how about 12? So it's really embracing the absurdity of that, the whole monkey's paw aspect of the reality that we're living in. Kenan Thompson floated the idea that 50 years of Saturday Night Live might be enough. Kenan was on Charlemagne the God's show and said 50 is a good number to stop at. It's an incredible package. Lorne Michaels will be close to 80 years old at that point. You know, he's the one who's had his touch on the whole thing. So if somebody tries to come into his shoes, you know, it's a good opportunity for NBC to save money as well. You know what I'm saying? So they might slash the budget. And then at that point, you really can't do the same kind of show. So it's unfair to watch it go down in flames for real because of those restrictions. So capping it at 50 might not be a bad idea. The guys from Please Don't Destroy, you know them from Saturday Night Live. They're getting a movie. Told you about that last week. Some new cast have been added to the movies. Bowen Yang and Conan O'Brien. Yeah. No word on who they will play. Kate McKinnon left Saturday Night Live and told Kelly and Ryan, I thought about leaving for a very long time and it was very, very hard. All I ever wanted to do in my whole life was be on SNL. So I did it. I loved it. I had the best decade. And then I was like, my body's tired. And I felt like it was time. Will she watch season 48? I don't know what I'll do. I don't know if I can watch the show yet. It's just too emo because I miss everyone so much. I mean, it's my other family. I think I'm just going to tape The Bachelorette and watch that instead. James Austin Johnson, you also know him from Saturday Night Live. He spoke with Nashville Scene, the topic Donald Trump. James said, in 2015 and 16, I was very distraught about, especially coming from like the Christian side of the Republican world. I was sort of distraught that Trump was this guy who's plainly not Christian and just sort of lying about it. I was raised that if you were pretending to be a Christian, that was worse than not being one at all. He just broke every rule of the world I was raised in and being celebrated for it. And that really boggled my mind. I was extremely depressed and felt like I didn't even know my own family and who I was. And then I started doing the impressions of him and I was getting more used to the idea of him. I just got more used to what America is. I was just like, no, I mean, this guy won. He was elected and people wanted this. And I got to know where he came from and what that means. I started doing the impression. It made me feel better about him. I started paying a lot more attention to the words he said and his speeches, and it hit me at some point. Oh, he's making it up as he goes along. He has no plan. It's fully word association. And then as I got better at the impression becomes a little bit less about my anger and a little bit more about being silly. I truly feel like I understand Donald Trump in this way that, like, I don't know, maybe no one else does. I would just see how I could turn an audience into my zombies as I do that voice, the way I hold people's attention when I'm doing it. It's like, oh, this is how he works. He's figured out the funniest way to talk. I saw him for who he really is, the funniest person alive. I think Donald Trump may be, intentionally and unintentionally at the same time, which is like a double whammy, the funniest person of all time. It made me feel better about things. I don't know. Me and Donald Trump, it's a weird relationship. I really hope he doesn't find out what my politics are and sick his goons on my wife and son. I mean, when you look at Donald Trump, you have to go, this is America. We're this. This is the height of our culture. A guy being like, Ted Cruz's wife is a dog. Elizabeth Warren is Pocahontas. And you see how much his fans freak out. You just got to go, this is the height of American culture. Like it or not, it's not the Criterion Collection. It's not Aaron Copland's Appalachian Spring. It's this. It's Donald Trump being like, oh, man, this chick, she's not even hot. And then all these old TBN watchers flipping the F out at how funny he is. The good news is it's exactly what it looks like. It's not anything other than what it looks like. And so hopefully more people realize that it's a grift and that he's BSing. I mean, he truly is. He's like Harold Hill and the Music Man doing 76 trombones. It's a grift. That said, I'm more afraid of Ron DeSantis.
Hello, film fans. We are the Film vs. Film podcast. My name is Martin Harries, the host, and I'm always joined by the film encyclopedia man, Boaz Dix. We are a couple of filmmakers on occasion, but mainly can't stop yapping about movies. On this podcast, every episode, we pick a topic from a film that's coming out at the cinema or on streaming. Myself and Boaz pick our favourite film from that topic, or team up against a guest and battle it out to decide which film would become the greatest film of all time, according to two film geeks from Wiltshire, England. We release our episodes every other Saturday, plus bonus spoiler special episodes about new films we love. You can find us anywhere on your favourite podcasting app. Remember, please do subscribe. Pod Trailer, signing off.
Last week, I asked you, who would you rather have cook for you, Sebastian Maniscalco or Jim Gaffigan? As we headed into the weekend, Sebastian was up. Ruthie went to the Facebook group page. That page is called Daily Comedy News. Ruthie wrote, Sebastian, I already eat like Jim Gaffigan to keep my picky family happy. I have that with my mom. She eats like three things. And then we're like, hey, we're getting Thai food. Mom doesn't want Thai food. Hey, we might get Indian. Mom doesn't want Indian. My wife is really cool with trying things. Dan Bublich Jr. said, hands down, Sebastian. So there you go. Your champion of who would you like to eat with is Sebastian Maniscalco. I'm recording this Friday afternoon. I just got back from Montreal and I'm really tired. I don't even have an idea for a contest this week. So let's flip this around. Why don't you go to the Facebook group page, Daily Comedy News Podcast Group, and you suggest a contest and then we'll run it. How about that? Speaking of food, I ate like a champion up in Montreal. So I've mentioned I have the travel podcast, Travel is Back. I was recording. I went to this neighborhood in Montreal. It's called Mile End. It's like, what if there was Little Italy and all the old Italians died and the hipsters took over? So I don't know how to explain it. But we got bagels, gelato. Then we went to this chalet barbecue place I had seen on the internet that you would never in a million years pick out that was a good place to go. Oh my goodness, the food portions so big. The chicken was so big. I ate so much. So this is Friday. This morning, I ran 11 miles training for the marathon. I burned 1,700 calories. I got home and I know what my weight was earlier in the week. And I'm like, well, usually after a long run, I'm down a pound or two. I was up from earlier in the week. So God knows what I weighed this morning when I woke up. And I'm sure it's the salt. I mean, the poutine and all the fries and the chicken. I've got to get the salt out of my system. In a couple of weeks, I'll have the Montreal episode up on Travel is Back. But yeah, food. Now, would I rather have Sebastian or Gaffigan cook? Yeah, I guess Sebastian, right? The Montreal Times was at Randy Feldface's show. I never got to Randy Feldface because New Faces was two shows. I thought it was one show. On the website, it said it was one show. So the group one went at 7 o'clock, group two went at 9:30. So I wouldn't have been able to see Randy Feldface anyway. But I am intrigued. Someday, I want to see Randy Feldface. The Montreal Times says, Rainy Feldface is the type of performing puppet you would never have seen in a past episode of Sesame Street or The Muppet Show. In fact, he's more like an anti-Muppet. The purple-faced Australian puppet with the observational comedy style and constant rage of Lewis Black is back with his new show, Alien of Extraordinary Abilities, in which he offered his Full House audience his version of a deathbed confession, from his anti-Disney World song that started the show to his opinions on vaccines, critically endangered species, defecating geckos, Australians, moral injury, and coffee drinkers. Randy never failed to provide a steady stream of raucous, quick get me the oxygen laughs from the audience, and his dissection of the Liam Neeson thriller movie The Commuter was a hilarious highlight. See, that even reads funny. Yeah, we do it on time. Oh, we got plenty of time today. Okay, let me tell you about Jimmy Carr again. Johnny Mac, you talk about Jimmy Carr every day. Yes, I do. Cult MTL caught up with Jimmy. And listen to this question. I noticed that a lot of your comedy seems to be based on, Johnny Mac takes a deep breath and pronounces this word slowly, paraprosdokians. Jimmy Carr's comedy is based on paraprosdokians. 10 points to any of you who can tell me what a paraprosdokian is. You can't. Luckily, Cult MTL put in parentheses a statement in which the latter part of the sentence or phrase is surprising or unanticipated in such a way that makes the reader or listener reinterpret the first part. That is a $5 word, Cult MTL. How did you land on this particular, arguably challenging form of comedy, Jimmy Carr? Jimmy Carr said, so partly it's the linguistic thing that always fascinated me. I'm very dyslexic, and so naturally as a dyslexic kid, sometimes you misspeak and misread things, and you can either be very embarrassed by that or lean into it. And so you see things in a slightly different way. So I use the English language to write my material rather than more experiential comedy where you have to wait for some funny stuff to happen to you. I can just write, which is lovely. Now I'm doing a little bit more observational stuff in my new show because stuff has happened to me and it's interesting. You know, there's COVID, the world is crap, I had kids, and I have lots to say about that. I'm trying to redefine the dad joke. So it's not all wordplay, but wordplay is my love language. That's what I like to think. Ugh, it's a lot more Jimmy Carr, and I'm losing my voice. I recorded three of these back-to-back. Time out. I'm going to have a coffee. Like, I really have the iced coffee here. Oh, it's really good. All right, I'll do more Jimmy Carr later in the week. You guys are like, oh, good, Johnny Max finally going to talk about Jimmy Carr? He never does that. All right, I hear you. From Chortle, another 146 Edinburgh Fringe shows have gone on sale, bringing this year's tally to... All right, let me ask you, how many Edinburgh Fringe shows do you think there are? Let's play over-under. So they added 146. Do you think there are more than 2,200 or less than 2,200? I'll tell you in a second. New highlights of the comedy section include a work in progress from medic turned comedian turned best-selling author Adam Kay, plus the cult New York show Drag His Ass with Mary Beth Barone, a deconstruction of modern dating culture. They've also added Ukrainian comedian Dima Watermelon, and that is Dima Watermelon's real name. All right, over under 2,200 shows. How many shows are there at Fringe? 3,385. Imagine trying to see them all. Well, I think you'd have to time travel. Sometimes shows are at the same time, as we learned from Montreal. And that is your comedy news for today. Follow the show for free on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, because, you know, I got leftover Jimmy Carr material you're going to want to hear. I'm Giddy. See you tomorrow.